Thank you, Jim. Hey, do you still believe he'll never fail you? I hope so. I pray so, that you truly know what you have in Christ. And that's exactly what we're going to look at today. And so I'm going to ask you a question to start off with. The question gets asked. I don't usually ask the question, but I know a lot of people do. What does Jesus mean to you? And I don't want you to answer me, you know, that way, but I want you to truly examine your heart and think through, what does Christ mean to you? I've heard everything from, he is my everything, to he is my Savior, to, well, he's the Son of God. You know, and they are all true, true statements. And they're wonderful statements, and they're honest, straightforward, beautiful truths. And truths for the one who is in Christ. You know, we live in a time where people seek joy and fulfillment and pleasure from so many things that are not Christ. You know, mainly themselves, to serve themselves, but yet, we just see that all the time. We see it all around us. We see it through the media, you know, and everything else. And so we have to sit back, those of us who are in Christ, and ask the question consistently and regularly, well, who is Jesus to me? Honestly. In other words, what do I honestly live because of him? You know, I'm sure many of you have heard this list before, but I just want to remind you of some folks that pass this life without being in Christ Jesus. A guy by the name of Voltaire. He was just very publicly declared himself an atheist. And at one point near the end of his life, he goes this, I wish I'd never been born. You know, that shouldn't be the heart of a child of God. Lord Byron, he lived a life that just was self-serving. He tasted every pleasure he possibly could physically to feed his flesh and everything else. And in the end, he wrote, the worm, the canker, the grief, they are all mine alone. Jay Gould, who was one of the first millionaires, and he had so much money that, you know, and yet when he died, just before he died, he goes, I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth. And so even money shouldn't matter. Position, Lord Beaconfield, he enjoyed more than his share of fame. Position. And yet he wrote this, youth is a mistake, manhood is a struggle, old age is a regret. Alexander the Great, who at the time conquered the whole known world, and yet in his tent after the last great battle, they found him weeping because I have no more countries to destroy. How about you and I? Where are you? We're waiting. We're waiting for the Lord to come. We're waiting for the reality of the joy of meeting our Savior face to face and spending eternity in heaven. Who is he to us? Where is he? Where do we find joy in this crazy world? COVID threw us all for a loop. It was crazy. I mean, when I address RMC at Center Campus next Saturday night, it will be the first time I have spoken to them in person in probably 2 years. The last few times were to an empty auditorium where everything was being live streamed. You know how horrible that is? We're the family of God. We're the children of God. We're meant to be together. And guess what? In heaven, we're going to be together. Yeah, and all these nations, everybody's going to be there, and it's going to be fantastic worshiping our God. Maybe singing with the angels, holy, holy, holy. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about our study in the book of Revelation that we're going to jump into right after 2 Thessalonians. I'm so excited about that, to look at that future ahead. Bottom line, as we consider life here, I want us to understand what real is. And I think Romans chapter 8 captures what the heart of the child of God, for he or she who is in Christ, what should be truly joyful for us. I believe that real joy can only come from being in Christ, and that will carry us through life. Real joy only comes from being in Christ. That's what this chapter is about. Not experiencing joy in your life? Maybe today's the day you ought to examine your heart and ask, am I truly in Christ? Let's pray. Our Father, as we look into your word today, we just open up our hearts to you. This chapter is full of so much. And over the course of a couple of weeks, we can find areas that we're just going to highlight, and yet within it, there's just such a wealth that reveals your great grace and your love and your mercy and your care for us. So we ask that you would just, as Isaac has already prayed, just open our hearts to the work of your Spirit, your word this day. Might it be a blessing, might it be encouraging, might it be exciting. And yes, if it's challenging and change needs to happen, might we be broken because of who you are. So Father, I ask your hand a blessing on this time, these few moments together, for it's in your Son's name we pray. This is probably one of the greatest chapters of Scripture that's ever been penned, and I know that's up to personal opinion, but on my opinion, it is. And it starts with something just so wonderful, because I want us to see today that if you are in Christ, you are blessed. You are richly blessed by God. Look at verse 1. Notice what it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Now, just look at that, no condemnation. I want to remind you of what the Lord said himself that's recorded for us in John chapter 3. We always love to share John 3:16, but we don't compare that with the verses that follow it. And so in John chapter 3, starting with verse 16, he says that beautiful, wonderful truth that we all love to hear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It has so rich and full of blessing. It reveals God's pure, unconditional love for us, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for that purpose because of the sin issue we had. And as we get into this chapter, you and I are both going to see that no matter how dutifully we might strive to follow the law, there was no way we could fulfill it and honor our great God. It took the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to remove our sin. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God proved or demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for a purpose, the sin thing. Because notice what verse 17 and 18 says. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Those folks that I just read about, that's what they wanted. They wanted to serve themselves in all of those different areas with all those different things rather than look at what God had provided. You know, that's why I love living in Colorado. You know, I love where we live. And when I worked at the Central Campus and ministered down there, you know, every day going in, I'd see that beautiful mountain and I'd be reminded of how great my God is. You know, last song that we just sang, do we really believe that God can still move the mountains? We think we live in an evil time. Whoa, yeah. But you know, there's some biblical characters that lived in wicked times. You know, take this guy Noah. He was declared the only righteous one. God granted him grace, and his whole family got to be saved with him, but nobody else. Why? Because people were eating, drinking, marrying, just serving themselves. That was their whole life. And we're there again. You know, and Scripture tells us, like the day of Noah, it will become. Apostasy will begin. Dan Hooker, Dr. Dan, who was here last week, he and I sat down this week and he talked about the message that he shared and how he battled doing it and everything, which every man of God should for every message, you know, really struggle it out with God before you bring it to the folks, because we want it here first before we deliver it here. And he began talking about the apostasy that we see and how people that we look at and have a testimony in Christ, but now have gone and they're supporting rather than having the courage to say it's sin. It's hard, but I want us to understand we're blessed. You know, John 3:16 does not exist. We have moved from condemnation to life. Amen? Amen? For those who have believed, for those who have repented of their sin and trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we are now in Christ and Christ is in us. Amen? And that's what this chapter gives us. I want us to know that there is no greater blessing that you can have. Hey, we had 8 gals here all pregnant at the same time. A couple of them have already given birth and they've met the treasure and the joy. That's a blessing. Diane and I were blessed with 4 children. You know, each one's a blessing, but not greater than salvation. I want you to know that. It's a truth. God blessed me with a godly wife, you know, eventually after we got saved, you know, and wow, that's a great, great gift. But it will never, ever replace what we have in Christ Jesus, because that is eternal. Amen. Amen. And we have the joy of that. And we know what will happen forever. You know, this, when we see this in the second half of the verse that we have here, and I know some of your Bibles might not have it, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And it's almost repeated down in verse 5, word for word. But so the truth is there. You know, and so I'm always reminded of Galatians 5 and how God used Galatians 5 in my own life to talk me about, teach me about what it means to walk in the Spirit. In other words, each day, each moment that I walk, it should be Spirit-led. Being led by the Spirit is declared in there. So that the fruit of the Spirit is evident, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Spirit is to be in control, that we walk. Even that verse goes on to talk about living in and walking in the Spirit. Walking in is the bookends of that portion of Scripture. Walking in the Spirit. You know, if you and I are in Christ, what does Jesus mean to us? Well, it means that we are able now to walk in the Spirit of God. Isn't that a blessing? Walk through and under the power of the Spirit of God. Even in this room, I know there is suffering. I know there is agony. There are difficulties. There are challenges. We've had here within the last few months people who have lost loved ones, people who have lost children, you know, people battling cancers and things like that. Those are hard, horrible things that God calls us to walk through. But if we are in Christ, we don't do it alone. Amen? We do it with Him. We are no longer under condemnation. We are blessed by the Son of God, the salvation that we have, and His Spirit. I want us to know that we can actually walk in victory in this crazy, crazy, temptation-filled world. Look at verses 2 through 4. Notice what it says. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, I'm free from that. I could never fulfill the law, which always led to death. Now in Christ, I am free from that. And so I am free to be able to serve my God and walk in peace. Notice what verse 3 says. For what the law could not do, could not bring salvation, and it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and according in account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, He bore it on the tree, your sin and my sin, and He condemned it so we could be set free from it. Verse 4, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who are in Christ, free from sin. I don't know about you, but that's victory. That's genuine victory. To where I don't have to follow the temptations and the path and the where I was in the world and things like that, that I can walk with Christ and Christ can walk with me and walk in the power of His Spirit and the joy that we have of that each and every time, free from sin. When you and I sin, and yeah, we sin, we choose to. Satan didn't make you do it. God didn't make you do it. You choose to. I choose to. Rather than walk in the Spirit, walk in a spiritual life, walk in the power of the Spirit. Remember from Corinthians, we were taught that the Spirit of God, because we are the temple of the Spirit of God, He will bring conviction in our lives because of sin and give us a way of escape. To be able to repent and say, oh, no, I don't want to go there. I want to go over here, and I want to follow the Lord. That's what it's talking about. Look at verses 5 through 7. Notice what this victory means in our lives. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's all they want. That's all they crave. Before salvation, that was me. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, those things that honor God, those things that bring joy to God's heart, those things that glorify Him in this life. Verse 6, for to be carnally or fleshly minded is death. It will always, always sever our relationship with God. It will destroy our relationships with others. to be carnally. Fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice that, life and peace. I love that. Eternity is in mind here in the heart of the Holy Spirit as he moves Paul to write these letters. You know, he wants us to live in light of eternity. Live victoriously here, honored in our lives, so that our testimony reveals that we are children of the Most High God and that we are in Christ. You know, as we're waiting for the rapture or to meet our Lord one way or another, guess what? That's what we should be doing. That's how we should be living, with eternity in mind, in that peace that will only come from walking with God, because he is a God of peace. We love Philippians 4:6, you know, that we would have the peace that passes all understanding. And the only way we're going to get that is if we have that spiritual mindset to where we want to honor God in all that we do. It is victory. It is victory that we have laid before us. You and I can live victoriously that way. So let me ask that question again. Who is Jesus to you? Who is he really? What does my life reveal moment by moment each day? How does it get revealed to Diane, to my son-in-laws, you know, to our daughters and son and daughter-in-law, our grandchildren? You know, what does my life really prove in life? There's only two choices: carnal, fleshly, or spiritually. That's the only choice you and I have. And so in this room, this very moment, there are either saved people or lost people. That's the reality. You're nowhere in between. You're either saved or you're lost. Secondly, you're either walking with God or you're not. Those are the only choices we get as we look at what we have in Christ. And Christ wants to bless us, and he wants us to walk in victory. He has provided everything that we have. And when we start thinking about that peace, the only way you and I can have peace is if we live in hope. I'm convinced that hope that is established in the heart of God, the works of God, the gifts of God. That's how we walk in hope. How we have hope in the midst of the ugly that happens around us, happens to us, happens in us. Lastly, I want us to understand God is a God of relationship. Relationship. Notice what happens in verse 8. So then, because of the fact that we are no longer living under condemnation, we are blessed and we can walk in the Spirit and follow him and have this victory from sin in our lives and have this peace of God. So then, because of all of that, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That means those who are in Christ, we can please God. Amen? I don't know about you, but when that thought really hit me that I could put a smile on God's face, just kind of overwhelmed me. You know, here he is, the holy creator of the universe, and somehow, because he saved my wretched soul by me loving him and following him his way, I can put a smile on his face. Whoa. That's humbling. And yet, that is so fulfilling and joyful in life, being able to please God. Notice verses 9 and 10. But you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Christ is in us, this relationship, we have his righteousness put to our account. So God, the holy creator of the universe, sees us through the blood of Christ, through the righteousness of Christ. We have him in us, and we are in him. I'll tell you, that ought to give joy to each and every one of us here today. But he is very straightforward. Guess what? If anyone does not have the Spirit of God or Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That's the truth. We're going to battle doing right. You know, we might do some moral things every now and then, but we will fall woefully short. We will not have the righteousness of Christ so that our advocate can deal with that before God. Verse 11 goes on to even emphasize that. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus up from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's a promise of the resurrection. That's a real relationship. That's a blessed relationship. And there it is. He tells us because of this, we have not only the Holy Spirit within us, but one day we will be resurrected. We will be there. You know, and all of this stuff, the junk of COVID, it'll be totally behind. I'm confident in this. We will not remember COVID in heaven. It won't be there. We won't remember cancer in heaven either. We won't remember death because it'll be life. All the hard things and the painful things of here will be gone because of this beautiful relationship. Notice, he even doesn't stop there. He gives us more promises for real joy from there on. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Woo. Live life, and we can live it now, and we can enjoy it now, and it is a guarantee in the future. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God in them, these are the sons of God. Amen. We are adopted in the family. God so graciously then moves from just being God to God the Father in our personal walk with him. That is a genuine relationship that is so beautiful. Man, if you're here today and you're a child of God, say amen. We are children of the Most High God. We are children of the Creator of the universe. We are children of the Holiest One. He provided salvation for us. And he just yearns for us to walk within that truth. And he goes on to say this, verse 15. And you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Daddy. It's so funny to be in Israel and be walking around and hear children yell out, Abba, Abba, you know, and they're talking to their dad. And their dad is nearby, you know, and at first it startled me and I go, well, no, that's what it means. He has become my heavenly Father. Now, I can't forget that he's holy creator of the universe, but just add to it, this relationship, he loves me more than my earthly father ever could. And he cares about my every need, and he will walk with me through everything. Verse 16 goes on to say, the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of the Most High God. And if children, then heirs. Notice what he adds to it. We become joint heirs with Christ. We are listed in the will, if you will. And if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Yeah. The second part is going to talk about suffering, but yet the victory still remains. The relationship still remains. I remember reading about a church that seemed, the pastor thought it was rather lethargic in its worship and rather just very stoic. And so what he did is, on a Sunday morning, he gave a helium-filled balloon to every single person. Now, he didn't ask them to go, you know, with it or anything like that, but he gave them a helium-filled balloon. And then he came up, and just before he began teaching, he goes, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to talk about seven promises of God that we have for this life and seven promises of God that we have for us in eternity. And if any of those really thrill your soul and stuff, let your hallelujah go up. In other words, let your balloon go up. Just let go of it. Let it go up. I'll take care of them off the ceiling later, you know, or they'll come down during the week. Whichever he, you know, but he says, I want your hallelujah, it to be known. And when he finished and he gave it the most oomph that he could, more than half the people were still holding their balloons. I got a phone call one day from a nursing home. And says, we have an 83-year-old man here by the name of Robert, and he would love, and I was a Baptist pastor, he said, I'd love to have a Baptist pastor come and minister to me in my final. Would you come? I said, sure. And I walked in and just happened to be a black man. And we talked about Christ. We talked about the joy we have in Christ. We talked about all the promises. There was no doubt in my mind that Robert knew Christ as his personal Savior. We had a great time just celebrating and him sharing how he yearned for the gospel to be shared with his family and friends and relatives because he was quite concerned for some. He didn't give me names, but he was just quite concerned. And weeping, he told me that, please, please share with them the love of Christ and the wonders of salvation. And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. Show the funeral and greet the families and get everything, make sure everybody is taken care of. And I see people coming in and they have Bibles with them. I want you to know that even at Calvary Worship Center, Calvary, Rocky Mountain Calvary, I've never seen that. People coming in with Bibles. One of his favorite sayings was, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And so I planned on using that in the service. And I said, I know all of you know that one of his favorite sayings is, and boy, they jumped right in. And the amens and the hallelujahs started with those folks. And I was just going, I could handle this. This is fun, you know? And then all of a sudden, when we were finished with God is good all the time, God is good, somebody piped up and said, God is all good all the time. And, sir, you are so right. He is perfectly good in everything that he has given us, in blessing, in victory, and relationship. And you and I cannot forget that. No matter how difficult it gets here. We celebrate communion for that very reason. To remember what we have in Christ. In a few moments, it's going to be self-serve. We have elements in the back and elements here in the front. And we encourage you to go get your own elements. Come back and have a seat as the worship team, Isaac and Jim, give us a message of a song. So we'll serve ourselves during the song. So Jim, Isaac, if you'd come up. But we will participate together and take communion together as a family. And I want you to remember, it is meant for the celebration until he comes again. So who's Christ to you? you're not in Christ today, you're sitting there, and you're battling here, I beg you, because God's word says, if you believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the one who brought salvation, just repent of your sin and trust Christ alone, because he has provided the way. He has provided the way for you and I to have this relationship. Right now, I beg you, start praying right now. God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And I trust Jesus Christ alone with all my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. And guess what? If that's true in your heart, God will save you that very moment. And he will fill you with his Spirit, and you will be in Christ. If you're here today and you are in Christ, where are you? Are you walking with him? Are you still in rebellion, wanting to feed your flesh? No greater time, greater moment to get right with God for the child of God than before communion. I'm going to ask that from Scott's row. Scott, would you kind of wave your hand? You guys would come forward to receive your elements, and from there back, you would receive your elements in the back. Let's stand and pray. Our Father and our God, you are so gracious to us. You are so merciful, so wonderful. You love us so much in providing your Son for salvation and then giving us so much Savior. And I believe that so many of us forget all that we have provided for us at the moment of salvation. And I pray today that this message from this passage of Scripture stirs our hearts. Yes, we're waiting. We're waiting. We pray, even so, come Jesus, take us home. Oh Lord, while we wait, might we realize we are really blessed, that we can really walk in victory, and that we have this beautiful relationship with the Holy Creator of the universe, Abba. Abba. Lord, I pray you'd move in each one of our hearts today, and that as we celebrate communion, we would remember your death and resurrection together. All that we have, all that Christ did for us, so that we could know you. Meet every need in our hearts and lives through your riches and glory. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name I pray. Amen.